Let's turn now in God's Word to the book of Job. And Job, we'll be looking at Job chapter 1. If you don't know where Job is, if you go to the middle of your Bible, you'll find the Psalms. And then right before the Psalms is the book of Job. And we're in Job chapter 1, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God, and so let's give our attention to them. And hear and receive with faith what He says. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that is, this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Those are God's words. Well, here we come to the book of Job, and there are many theologians who believe this is the first book ever written in Scripture. It's obviously after creation. It's after, you know, the beginning of Genesis. But it is, as a book, many believe it to be the first written. It's very early, no matter what. And we do not know the exact date, of course. It concerns, though, a man who is named Job. In verse 1, that he was a righteous man, righteous in the sight of God, and a man who feared God. And we remember what kind of book this is. It's a writings book. Remember, we had the law in the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament, and the writings. And this is a writings book, and therefore it teaches God's people how to live righteously for their God. That's the purpose of this book, generally speaking. We see through verse 4 that the Lord had made Job to prosper greatly with animals, property, and children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Many blessings of the Lord to this man. And then through verse 12, we get the behind-the-scenes look of what was occurring in the spiritual realm in the malice of Satan coming against Job. Only we see here, first he needed the permission of Jehovah. But we notice verse 8. It is the Lord who suggests Job to Satan. It is the Lord who suggests Job to Satan. It is the Lord who would suggest this to Satan, that the things that we have read about happening to Job happen to him. Does this give you doubt about your God? And does it all the more declare, or does it all the more declare His sovereign rule and protection over you and over all His creatures, including over Satan? Satan had to come to Jehovah. And to show how the Lord upholds His people, Jehovah permits Satan to attack Job, but not to touch his body. And then through verse 17, all of his property is wiped out. Through verse 19, all of his children died. And Job's righteous response is found in verse 20. With great mourning and grieving. But notice, worship. He still worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. As if God was at fault, right? That's what he means. And in all of our lives, there have been and there will be times like this, though probably not as sorrowful as what Job went through. And he points us to Jesus Christ. And is a great example to us. All the property and all his children were from the Lord. And if it is his will to give them to him, praise the Lord. And if it is the Lord's will to take them away, praise the Lord. Our duty is to believe in the Lord and keep trusting in the Lord in those times, and he will uphold us. If you suffer affliction from which no prosperity, no property, no family can secure you, then your only option is to turn to the Lord in Jehovah in Christ, and He will preserve you. This is very good in God's providence, because it's a good example to us of what we will hear in the sermon today, of what it means to be poor in spirit. What it means to be poor in spirit. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful how we can attempt to put ourselves in the shoes of Job as Your children and see that no one here, most likely, no one here will ever have as much property as Job had. And no one here will probably lose as many children as Job had. And all at one time, on the same day, losing everything except himself and his wife. And yet we see his response here is pointing us to how we ought to live. That everything we have, whether in physical, material things, or in our family and the people we have, they are all brought about and given by You. And You can easily take them away at a moment's notice. And that's Your will. And we trust Your plan. And we trust Your eternal decrees. You are the sovereign God, and we are not sovereign. We are finite creatures. You are the Creator, we are the creation, Your creatures. And we profess our faith that You are able to do as You desire. And we are not. We are completely dependent upon You. You are completely independent. And so, Father, we do praise You. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God who is completely sovereign over all things, even our lives and our property and our things. And we pray that You would prepare us for the day when affliction will come, or if it is already come, that You would help us now. That You would give us such a faith that we would trust in You through it and in the midst of it. That we would not curse You. That we would not charge You foolishly as if You are guilty of some sin, or if You've been as if You've been unfair. Because we consider who we are before You as sinners, that what is fair is the eternal torments and the pains of hell forever for each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, and even any who are in the womb, if there be any. We deserve everything cursed forever. And so everything that You grant us is a blessing to us, is Your grace to us. And so help us to be a thankful people and to use what You give as good stewards. And when it is Your time to take that away, even maybe our health or our bodies, our property or our lives, our children, our parents, that we would give You all the praise. And Father, we confess that's very difficult for us. as we continue struggling with our sin. But we confess and we praise you that you are a God who is sovereign even over Satan and all our enemies, in which you have conquered. And we in Christ are more than conquerors through him who loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins and made atonement for our sins and cleanses us of our sins and sanctifies us even by your grace. And we ask now that you would turn us from our wickedness and our wicked ways and our rebellion against you, our ceasing to love you and obey you, and our laziness, and make us to be diligent and zealous keepers of your law as your Holy Spirit works in our hearts, as you have made us children of God, sons and daughters. And Father, we ask that you would, in the moments of affliction, you would uphold us and grant us your grace and grant us a knowledge and a faith in your presence, that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death as Christ did, and we in union with him, as we take up our cross and follow after him, we know, help us to know and help us to believe with all of our heart that you are with us and you will not leave us nor forsake us, even in those times. And Father, we ask that you would uphold your people who struggle in their bodies. We pray for Patricia, that you would heal her of her cancer, and when I think in the near future she's supposed to have a test or exam where it shows what's happening more so in her. We pray that doctors would see that there is no more cancer and that it would be completely gone. And we ask that that would be your will. If it is, we pray that your will would be done no matter what. That you would heal her and that you'd heal Dina and heal others who struggle in their body. We pray that you would open up the womb of Johnny, if that be your will, and grant Junior and Johnny children. We know that they desire children because they know that children are a blessing of the Lord and from the Lord, from you, that you give them. And so, Father, bless them and grant them that desire, which is a good desire. Father, we ask that you would uphold those who have been afflicted and with loss of property or children, even amongst this congregation. And there are many who have lost children in various ways. And Father, we ask that you would uphold them and strengthen them in their hearts, that they would love you and trust your plan and give all praise to you, the one who gives and takes away. And Father, we also pray that you would be with this congregation, that you would sanctify us and give us a greater faith, a greater zeal for the gospel, a greater love for one another, that you would bless our fellowship after worship today, that you would grant to us a good conversation and godly conversation, that fits for this day, the Lord's day, and so that our conversation wouldn't be so much about the world and the things of the world, and not so much about our jobs, though we do care for each one of us, but more so about you, that our focus would be upon you, that we would converse in fellowship and talk about the sermon or your word or trial that we've gone through and how you've helped us, things like this, that we would be an encouragement to one another, that we would be iron sharpening iron, that we would be your people who are faithful even on the Lord's day to rest our souls in you and not rest our souls in this world and the things of the world and the pleasures of this world. And so help us especially today as we have that great opportunity of time of fellowship after worship. And Father, we ask that you would carry us through and sanctify us and cleanse us of all sin that remains within us. If there are any here who don't know you and who cannot hear the good shepherd's voice, we pray that you would send your Spirit and open their ears to hear him and their hearts to desire him, and they would love him. And all these things, Father, we ask that your will would be done, because you are the God who's sovereign, and we know this will happen. We pray that you would give us comfort and faith as your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.